Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Megillah Daf Yotes. We are holding on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are at Gufa, which is on the fourth very wide line on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored L'Chusru for Shalema for Rachel Malka Bas Tzertel Sheindel. It's also sponsored by Simeon Moshe Kleinman L'Chusru for Shalema for Rachel Malka Bas Tzertel Sheindel. It's also sponsored by Morris Masel L'Chusru for Shalema for Simcha Binyamin HaKohen Ben Yocheved, and also sponsored by Karen Benson for the speedy and full Refuah Shalema for Simcha Binyamin HaKohen Ben Yocheved, who's one of our B'nai HaChabura, who needs a Refuah Shalema, and Rachmei Shemayim. We continue to daven for him and learn for him. Also sponsored by Dr. Torin and Juliet Rutner in honor of the upcoming wedding of their daughter, Chana Rutner, to Jordan Cohn. We thank Mazel Tov to the Rutner family and Cohn families. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are again holding at Kufa in the fourth very wide line on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to discuss writing a Megillah and in general Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, Shalom and Aksav. If you happen to know it by heart, can you just write it by heart, or do you have to be looking at an existing Aksav in order to write one? Then the Gemara is going to talk about what the Mishnah and Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens if a Ben Ir goes to a Krach, a Ben Krach goes to an Ir. Which day do you read the Megillah if you're not from there but you happen to be there on the day that everybody there is reading the Megillah? Then the Gemara is going to discuss where you can start the Megillah from and still be Yotzei. Do you have to start from the very first pasuk? Can you start from somewhere in the middle and still be Yotzei? And then we're going to talk about a number of the dinim of sewing a Megillah and writing a Megillah, and then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to tell us machlokas whether a katan is allowed to read the Megillah, but certainly not a cherish and a shota. And the Gemara is going to discuss what the nekudas machlokas is, and we're going to try to identify the tana of that holds that even b'di'evet, Cheresh is not allowed to read the Megillah. So let's begin at Gufa again on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Gufa, Amar Abba Rechan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asu Lichtov Osacha Shalom and Aksav. You're not allowed to write even a single letter Shalom and Aksav. You have to be looking at another existing Ksav in order to write the Megillah. So Meisvei, Amar B'Shem Elazar Meisim, Rav Meir Shalich Abir Shana Ba'Asya. One time Rav Meir went to be Ma'abir the Shana in Asya, V'lo Yesha Megillah, and there was no Megillah there, because from Elibo V'Kara, and he just wrote it by heart because he didn't have a Megillah, and he read from it. So you see that even Shalom and Aksav, it works. Some Rabbi Avo, Shiny Rabbi Meir, the Mekayim Be'er V'Avpecha Yashir Nagdecha. No, Rabbi Meir is different. Rabbi Meir was such a bucky, he knew it all. It was like, right, the V'Avpecha Yashir Nagdecha means your pupils look straight forward ahead, meaning he had a clear vision of exactly what's supposed to be written. Amar Le'er Rami Baruch Amar Rabbi Yirmi Midifti, Mai V'Avpecha Yashir Nagdecha. Amar Lo, Elu Divrei Torah. That's a reference to Divrei Torah, when it says that that your pupils look straight ahead. Tichsiv Behu, because it says about Divrei Torah, Hitav Einecha Bo Ve'Einenu, that typically when people look at Torah, you blink and it's gone. It's not there anymore. Meaning you learn so much and then you try to remember, but it's very, you have to really work hard in order to be able to remember. It tends to, lots of it tends to be forgotten. You blink and it's no longer there. V'afilu Hachi, Miyushar Neinetz L'Rameir. But Rameir was such a genius and such a masmid that he had it all clear. He had all the Divrei Torah perfectly clear in his head. Rav Chisa Ashchel Rav Chananel, Davakasav Svarim Shalom and Aksav. Rav Chisa saw that Rav Chananel was writing Svarim Shalom and Aksav without looking at an existing text. Samle Ru'iya Kala Torah Kaluli Kasiv Al Picha. Really, you're so wonderful. The whole Torah should be written just based on what you know. But it's a violation of a din. The din midrabanan is that you're not allowed to write Shalom and Aksav. You have to write Min Aksav. Midakamar Kala Torah Kula Ru'iya Shtkasiv Al Picha Melchal Dubi Yusharne. Well, wait a second. When he says to him, Kala Torah Kula Ru'iya Shtkasiv Al Picha, isn't he saying that you're someone who we trust absolutely, that you know every single word by heart? And Rabbi Meir Kasav, and he still told them that the din applies to you, that you're not allowed to write Shalom and Aksav. So how come Rabbi Meir was allowed to write Shalom and Aksav? I mean, we ask, why is it that Rabbi Meir didn't have to use an existing text when he wrote Yotam. We said, oh, because he knew everything cold. Well, guess what? The case where Rav Chista also, Rav Chanan also knew everything cold, and Rav Chista acknowledged that he knew everything cold, and he still corrected him and told him that he has to write Minak Sav. So it says Maran Shasat Chakshaini. The case where Rabbi Meir was writing was there was no available Megillah. So with no available Megillah, he had no choice but to write one down. The case of Rav Chananel was that he just chose to write Shalom Minaksav. So that you're not allowed to do, no matter how well you know it, even if you're the likes of Rabbi Meir and Rav Chananel, you're not allowed to choose to write Shalom Minaksav. Abaye Shor L'Dbeira Bar Chavu L'Michtav Tfilin U'Mezuzah Shalom Minaksav. He allowed Dbeira Bar Chavu to write Tfilin U'Mezuzah Shalom Minaksav. Kiman Ki Aitana Detan Rabbi Yom Yom Shem Rabbeinu Tfilin U'Mezuzah Nichtav Shalom Minaksav. When you're writing Tfilin U'Mezuzah, you can write Shalom Minaksav. Ve'ain Tzricha Sirtut, and they don't require any Sirtut. Vilchsa Tfilin Ain Tzrichan Sirtut, Mezuzahs Tzrichan Sirtut. And the halacha is Tfilin do not require the etching, the Sirtut, to keep the line straight, whereas Mezuzahs do require Sirtut. Idi v'idi Nechtova Shalom Anaksav. But both of them could be written Shalom Anaksav. My time, why could they be written without an existing text? Migros Grisin, because we assume everybody knows these Parshios perfectly well. These are very famous Parshios of the Torah. And since we know them so perfectly well, it's not necessary to be looking at an existing text when you're writing them. The fact that we know them perfectly well comes up in other contexts as well, in other contexts of halacha. For example, the Minchas Chinuch writes that it's difficult to understand Shagas Aryeh's question. Minchas Chinuch discusses the mitzvah Taryag. It's difficult to understand how we're yotzei the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah when nowadays when the Gemara says that we're not pekin b'chaseros v'yaseros, that we're not experts in the chaseros and yaseros of the Torah. If we're not pekin b'chaseros v'yaseros, so whatever we're writing, we were off by a couple of avs, a couple of hays, a couple of yuds. So Minchas Chinuch suggests that maybe there's a way around it when it comes to the Torah, but he says, I don't understand. How can we be yotzei the mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of mezuzah? Those, even if, say, whatever, for Ksiva Sefer Torah, either we're not yotzei the mitzvah, or for Kriyas HaTorah, you don't need a perfect Torah, and maybe we're not yotzei the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, whatever answer you want to give about Ksiva Sefer Torah. But tefillin and mezuzah, they need to be perfect. But if we're not bekiyim b'chaseros v'yaseros, how do we work it out with tefillin and mezuzahs? So Minchas Chinuch writes, if I'm not mistaken, the mitzvah Taryag, that when it comes to tefillin and mezuzahs, we're bekiyin in the chaseros v'yaseros. Meaning our lack of bekiyus in the chaseros v'yaseros is in those parts of the Torah that we're not as fluent in. But they were writing these all the time. When we're writing tefillin and mezuzahs all the time, and these are very famous parshios of the Torah, so that we are bekiyin b'chaseros v'yaseros. Meaning we have great expertise in those parshios, so we could trust ourselves to write those shalom and aksav. Even though everything else, we wouldn't trust ourselves to write shalom and aksav. There is Machlokas Rishonim when the Gemara says tefillin do not require sirtut. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos and Maseches Gittin that it means it doesn't require sirtut on each and every line, but you do need sirtut on the top line, and then you write under it all of the rest of the lines, meaning you need one straight line on the top that's etched into the klaf, and then you could write the rest, whereas mezuzah requires sirtut on each and every line. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says no, tefillin does not require sirtut at all, not even on the top line. That which Rabbi Tam brings a raya from the Gemara in Gittin, that even when you write a nigeras, you need to be misartate. The Ran says that's not a raya, because the reason you need to be misartate by a nigeras is not because of a din ksiva, it's because of a din kriya. In order to be kore the nigeras, you don't want to mess up in your reading. So, when you're trying to read someone's handwriting and they're like writing sideways down the page, you get confused a little bit, it's difficult to read. So nigeras, which is meant to be read, you need a sirtut to keep the person straight, to keep the person on the line. But tefillin are never omid the kriya. The ksiva of the tefillin is just to put it in the bottom and to leave it that way in the bottom. It's never meant to be read, and therefore maybe it doesn't require sirtut at all. So that issue of sirtut is machlokas rishonim when it comes to tefillin. Okay, ha'isaksuva b'sam. We then said in the Mishnah that if it was written b'sam b'sikra, we had all of these different types of inks, b'kamus b'kankantum al aniyar al adiftera and parchments. So we said lo yot what's it has to be written? Ashuris, al sefer, and bidyo. So it says, what are these different types of inks that we're mentioning? So sam is sama. Sikra, amarabar, barchana, sakartashma. That's something that's called sakarta. They must have known what these things are. I don't know what these things are, but they were identifying different types of inks. Kumus is kuma, is some type of tree sap that they had. Kankantum, what is kankantum? So kankantum is charsa du ushkafi. It's a shoemaker's black that we're describing. The type of ink that they would use, that you're not allowed to use, is the shoemaker's black. Diftera is the meliach v'kamiach v'lo afetz. The type of parchment that we're describing when we say diftera is it went through a salt treatment, it went through the flour treatment to treat the hide, but it was never went through the gallnut treatment, so it was not afetz. And nayar is machka. Niyar is machka. What's machka? Rash says minasav ma'asriyal de debek. Some type of weeds or grass that's somehow glued together. So when we say the meliach v'kamiach v'lo afetz, Tosus points out in the top Tosus, we don't put gallnuts on our Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Megillahs. So if you hold that that's a requirement for the Klaf, how are we Yotzei with our Megillahs, with our Sifrei Torah, with our Tefillin? So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that whatever we do treat the Klafim with is just as good as the Afatim. It's just as good as these gallnuts. And his Raya is that the Gemara in the second parak of Gittin says that which is low ufitz is easily forgeable. You could be mizdayefit. And ours is not. Our parchment is treated well enough that you can't just easily erase letters and replace them without it being noticed. So therefore, we know that that whatever we do is just as good as ufitz. Allah sefer, I'm sorry, achete ksuva ashuris, until it's written ashuris. How do I know it has to be written in Hebrew? Duchziv, kiksavam, ukizmanam. Allah sefer b'diyo, how do I know that it has to be written on a parchment with black ink, minolan asik siva ksiva. Ksiva vatikasiv Esther Malka. It says over here, vatikasiv Esther Malka, uksiv hasab, vayomerlam baruch mi piv yikare elais, kaladvar meile, vanikosiv ala sefer bidyo. That just like by Baruch, the ksiva was ala klaf ubidyo, it says ala sefer bidyo. So to Megillas Esther, where it says ksiva, it has to be written ala klaf and bidyo. The case where the story over there was Yirmiyahu Navi was mitzava Baruch ben Neriah to write a Megillah, to write on a Megillah all of the happenings that happen to Bnei Yisrael if they don't do Tshuva Shlema. Exactly what's going to be if they don't do Tshuva Shlema. And when he read this in the Lishcha of Gemariyahu ben Shafan HaSofer, Bnei Yisrael asked him how did he write this Megillah and what were the and whether the details of all the Peronius that it says in it were said based on Yirmiyahu's say so. And he answered them that everything that's written in this Megillah was written al yidei, was based on Yirmiyahu Navi's instructions, and I wrote it based on what he said, and al sefer and bidyo. So that's the original context. But the point is that he says explicitly al sefer bidyo, and he used the term ksiva. So we hear also when we use the term ksiva when we describe the Megillah, it must mean al sefer and bidyo. It must mean that you're writing it on parchment with the black ink. Okay, so now the Mishnah. Now we move on to the next Mishnah. So says the Mishnah. Ben Ir Shahalach Lekrach. If you have a person who lives in a city, so he's supposed to read normally on the 14th, but he goes to a Krach. Ben Krach Shahalach Leir, or someone who lives in the Krach who normally reads on the 15th, goes to a city who reads only on the 14th. Imas Lachsu LeMakomo Kari KeMakomo. If he's going to go back home, then he should read like his own makom, like his own home. He doesn't read together with the people that he's with at that time. V'imlav Kari Imahin. But otherwise, he should read together with them. Tori Evan raises the question, why isn't this a violation of Los Cisco to do? Meaning you're in a place, everyone's being knowing one way, you're being knowing a different way. Shouldn't that be considered a violation of Los Cisco to do? You know, a number of the achronos, typically Los Cisco to do is when you have the Torah looks like agudos agudos, that everyone's doing different anhagos, even though they're all together, everyone's in the same city, and they're doing different things. So it makes it look like the Torah doesn't have any sense of uniformity. uniformity to it. There were poskim when Jews started coming to America after the when the wave of Jews that came to America after the Second World War came from all over the place. So many poskim and they just settled in Brooklyn and in different places. So it was a collection of Polish Jews and Hungarian Jews and Jews from everywhere that were all davening in the same shuls. So so there were many poskim that said that to have some people have certain hanhagos during tachnun, let's say, and others have other hanhagos is not lo sisko to do anymore, because everybody knows that it's it's not trying to be agudos. We all have different traditions. We all came from different places. That for some reason it doesn't apply anymore. But typically speaking, when you have different people doing different things, that is a violation of los hiskodidu. So the Torah Yevin suggests that no, los hiskodidu is only when you do something mipnei amachlokas, that you're arguing. But if you're not arguing, you're just doing what the halacha says you're supposed to do, because you are a ben ear. You just happen to be in a krach right now. So then it's not a violation of los hiskodidu. There are other suggestions as well, but that's what the Torah Yevin's suggestion. So anyway, mehechem kari adam smigil v'yosvei yedechava. So from where can a person start the Megillah and still be Yotzei? So a few opinions. Rav Meir Omer Kula. You got to read the whole thing. There are no shortcuts. Rav Yehuda Omer Me Ish Yehudi. As long as you start from Ish Yehudi. Rav Yossi Omer Me Achra Dvar Me'ele. At least from Achra Dvar Me'ele, you have to start the Megillah. Achra Dvar Me'ele is ready in the third parak of the Megillah, so you can miss the entire first two prakim, and then you can read the rest of the Megillah. Amar Rav Lo Shalu Al Shasa Lachsu B'Leili Yudalin. So Rav just comments that when the Mishnah said that a ben krach that goes to an ear and is going to go back to his place, he reads on the 15th and not on the 14th. That's only if he's going to be back on the night of the 14th. But if this person from the walled city is going to be in an unwalled city all night on the 14th, then he reads together with them. How do I know that that's true? So it says why does it have to say Hayoshim Bari Aprazos? Hakamashmalan to Parus Ben Yomo Nikra Parus, that if you're in a city for a day, you are a member of that city. So Ashkan Parus Mukav Minalan. So that may be true of the Parus, but how do I know someone who's a Ben Ir that's in a walled city for one day should also read on the 15th? So it says, where's Svarahu? Midaparas ben yamo kari parus, mukaf ben yamo kari mukaf. If someone who's in an unwalled city for one day is considered a member of the unwalled city, so someone who's in a walled city for one day is considered a member of the walled city. The Beis Yosef raises the kasha, if that's the case, that we learn the din of a parus ben yamo nikra parus from a pasuk, and a mukaf ben yamo is nikra mukaf, not from a pasuk, only from a svara. That means svara, that if it's true of a parus, it's true of a mukaf. Why, when the Mishnah lists the din, does it list it in the reverse order? It lists the din that we know from a svara before it lists the din that we know from a pasuk. So he suggests that because it's much less common for a mukaf to be a mukaf ben yomo. It's much more common for a person to be for a parus to be a parus ben yomo. Much more common for to have a mukaf ben yomo. So that's why we talk about the mukaf ben yomo first. The Rosh Yosef suggests differently. He says, no, that's not at all unusual that you have two dinim. One is derived from a pasuk, and one is derived from a svara, because that which is derived from the one that is derived from a svara will come first, because that which is derived from a svara is chaviv alei. We always value and treasure that which we're able to come up with on our own, and is not spoon fed to us, is not handed to us. Just like dinim derabanan very often are chaviv alei. So that that which we're able to derive dinim daraisa, that we're able to derive from a drasha that we had to make, are more chaviv than that which is explicit in the pasuk. So that which is misvara is also more chaviv. If you have a ben kfar, now a villager who could read Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, whenever the Yom HaKnisa is, and he goes to a city, so either way, that reads on the 14th, he has to read with them no matter what when he goes to the city. So Rashi writes, even though he already read on Yud Aleph, let's say, he already read on the Yom HaKnisa. So Tosfos raises the question, what? He already read on the Yom HaKnisa, you can make him read Megillah again? Lama Yachzor V'Yikra Shnei Pavim, asks Tosfos. But he says, I think Rashi's correct, because since he's in the city on that night, he becomes like a Ben Ha'ir. And even if he's going to go back on the night of the 14th, and he already read on the Yom HaKnisa, because Kfar Makdim on the Yom HaKnisa is only to provide Mayim U'Mazon, Tachayim Shebukrachim, and they're part of Megillah, only when they're not there on the night of the 14th, they're only there on the day of the 14th, when they're providing the Mayim U'Mazon. When they're actually there the night of the 14th, then of course they have the din of a Ben Ir. And Rashi's absolutely correct. Even if they already read the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa, they're going to have to read the Megillah again. So my taima, Haike Bnei Ir Boi L'Mikri, really the person should read like the Ben Ir. It's just that the Rabbanan gave a kula that they're allowed to read the Megillah early so that they could provide Mayim U'Mazon to the Bnei HaKrachin. But that's only if they're back home. But when they're in the city, then certainly they should read like the members of the city. Abaye challenges Rava that it says in the Braisa, Ben Krach Shalach Leir Ben Kach Ben Kach Kari Kimakomo, that Ben Krach that goes to a city should always read on the 15th. So before Abaye explains his kasha, Abaye just proves that the nusach of the Braisa is a little bit off. And if you correct the nusach of the Braisa, you'll then have a kasha on Rava. Meaning the way we have the Braisa right now, Enochinami, I don't have any kashas yet. So he says, wait a second, Ben Krach Sal Kadaitach, do you think the Braisa means to talk about a Ben Krach and say that a Ben Krach is always going to be Kori Kimakomo? No, we already said Beferush that depends on whether he's going to be coming back to going back home. So that the Mishnah said that Beferush, so it can't mean Bein Kach Bein Kach Kori Kimakomo. Elolav, it must be that you have to make a correction in the Nusach of the Braisa, and it says Ben Kfar, that we're not talking about a person from a walled city. We're talking about a person from a village who's Maktam Liyama Kanisa, and he happens to be in the city on the 14th. So that's what it's talking about. So that's a Kashan Rava. Rava says he should read like the Bnei Yair. But the Braisa didn't say that. The Braisa says Kore Kimakomo, that he reads like his normal place. So it says, Mavlav Truti Mitzrasa, what, you're going to ask me from a Braisa that you just had to adjust anyway in order to make it make any sense. So anyway, you're adjusting the wording of the Braisa. So to me, Kori Imahin. So instead of having the halach on the Braisa being Bein Kach Kori Kimakomo, just have the wording of the Braisa be Kori Imahin. Once you're changing the case of the Braisa, you could change the halach that the Braisa says as well. So then the Mishnah asks, what's the earliest point you could, the latest point you could start the Megillah and still be Yotze? And we have three different shitos in the Mishnah. So Tanya Rav Shimon Chayomer, a fourth shita, mi belayla hahu. You could start with belayla hahu. Amar Rav Yochanan mekulan mikra echad darshu. They all darshan, all the different shitos darshan from the same pasuk. Batif levesra amalko mordechai yehudi es kol tokef. So mandi amar kula tokef shalach sherosh. The one that says that you have to read all of it understands kol tokef means tokef shalach sherosh. And at the very beginning of the Megillah, it's already describing the strength and the glory of Achashverosh's palace and his party. Mandi amar mi ish Yehudi tokef shal Mordechai. The one that says you got to start from ish Yehudi says understands kol tokef means the strength of Mordechai. Mandi amar achar dvar meela tokef shal Haman. If you assume that it's achar dvar meela, where it says Gadol Gidol Hamelcha Chashirshes Haman Ben Amedasa Agagi, right? The Vayinaseu VaYosam Es Kiso Me'al Kol Asar Masharito, that he elevated Haman, so that's Tokfa Shel Haman. Uman Yom Blaylahu Tokfa Shel Neis, and the one who says you can start from Blaylahu, that's Tokfa Shel Neis. That's where the Neis really starts unfolding. Rav Huna Amar Mehacha. Rav Huna says from the following pasuk. So what is that pasuk referring to? So Mandi Amar Kula, the one that says that it refers to Kula, that you have to read the entire Megillah, rather, that Rabbi Meir, so he understands that pasuk to mean Mara Achashverosh Nishtamish B'Kelim Shel Beis HaMikdash, what inspired Achashverosh to use the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash in the Su'uda that he was making during the third year of his reign? Why wasn't he worried about using these Kelim and being Mechalel them? And the answer is Al Kocha Mishum Duchash of Shim Shnin. He already did his cheshbon of 70 years because Achashverosh thought thought that the 7 years of Galus Babel was over, v'loifrok, and he saw that Bnei Yisrael didn't have a geula, so the Navi of Yirmiyahu didn't come true, so he wasn't afraid that the Nevuah was going to come true, and therefore he felt confidence in using these kelim, right? That's what we already learned, that Achashverosh thought that Balshatzar made a mistake in his cheshbon, but he wasn't making a mistake in his cheshbon. He thought his cheshbon was correct, but it wasn't an easy calculation to figure out the 70 years, right? We had that back on Daf Yud Aleph. Umay Gia Aleim, and what happened in the end? What was the result of Achashverosh's decision to Katal Vashti, that he killed Vashti during that Su'uda? And that's where Meir holds. You have to read the Megillah from the very beginning, because all of that is told, all of this critical, all of these critical elements appear at the beginning of the Megillah. Umand Amr Mishyudi, and the one that says that we have to start from, that you have to at least start from Ish Yehudi, and you don't have to start all the way from the beginning. He understands the pasuk of Ma Ra'u Al Kach Mahi Gia Lehem to be different. Ma Ra'a Mordechai De Ikni Bahaman. Why is it that Mordechai aroused the kina of Haman? Al Kach the Shavi Nafshi Avod Zara. It was because Haman made himself into an Avod Zara, so Mordechai was not interested in bowing to him. Umai Gia Lehem, and what happened as a result of that? Tisrach Hashnisa, the whole miracle happened. Umandi Amar Me'achar Dvar Me'ela, the one that says that it's based on Achar Dvar Me'ela, Mara Haman Shiniskani B'Kol Yehudim. The Mara is what caused Haman to decide to kill all of the Jewish people. Al Kacha Mishum De Mordechai Lo Yichav Lo Yishtachana. It was Al Kacha because Mordechai refused to bow to him. Umai Gia Lehem, and what was the result of that? V'Talu Asav Ezbanav Al Eitz, that Haman ended up being hanged Al Eitz, right? That's why Yadav Tezayit, that Haman and his Banim were on that big eitz, and they all died perhaps at the same time. Umad Yemri B'Laylahu, and the one that says B'Laylahu, Mara Achashverosh Lavi Sefer HaZichronos. What motivated Achashverosh to bring out the Sefer HaZichronos that he was unable to sleep? Al Kacha Dizimante Esther LaHaman Ba'Day. It's Al Kacha. It's because Esther invited Haman to the Suda, and that drove Achashverosh crazy, right? We had 12 different shittos back on Daf Tezvav. What Esther was thinking in inviting Haman to the Suda, but we know what Achashverosh was thinking. Achashverosh was thinking, uh-oh, they're planning against me to kill me, right? That's what the Gemara that we saw, that Achashverosh was thinking they must be plotting to kill me, and no one's telling me about it, so no one likes me. Why does no one like me? It must be because I owe people favors, and I didn't pay back the favors. And therefore, he wanted to take out the Sefer HaZichronos. Umay Gia Lehem, and what happened as a result of that? The Yisrach HaShnisa, the entire miracle happened because of that. Amr Rabbi Chalba, Amr Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amr Rav, Halacha K'divrei Amr Kula, that we paskin that you have to read the entirety of the Megillah. V'afilu Mandi Amr Ish Yehudi, Tzrich Shtek Siva Kula. And even if you hold your letter, read from Ish Yehudi, at least the entire Megillah has to be written in front of you, and it's only a question of which part you have to read. So, meaning we paskin like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the one that said Kula. The Achronim wonder that, you know, we normally paskin Machlokes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, we normally paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Machlokes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, we normally paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So, we shouldn't paskin like Rabbi Meir over here, we should paskin like Rabbi Yossi, because the other column psak is Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yossi is Halachic Rabbi Yossi. So, who are the opinions in the Mishnah? Rabbi Meir Omer Kula, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mish Yehudi, Rabbi Yossi Omer Me'achar Dvar Me'ela. So, we should really paskin like Rabbi Yossi. We shouldn't paskin like Rabbi Meir. And so how come we paskin Kula? So in the Matas Elukim, he says in the Yerushalmi, it's Mavur that they were knowing like Rav Meir. So apparently it was Neskabel LaHalacha like Rav Meir because it's a Chumrah. Meaning in the Chumrah they were Mekabel to do like Rabbi Meir. So once it became a Chumrah that was accepted by everybody, so then it became the Halacha. Furthermore, based on what the Manus Halevi says, that we don't pass on Rav Meir, we pass on that they're all MS. And the Tokfa Shalkulam is the Ikar Anes. Meaning that it's not that it's a disagreement as to what the Pasuk means. The Pasuk means all of these things. Meaning, since it's all based on Kol Tokef, and the question is, well, what Tokef? Or it's based on Al Kacha, and the question is, what's the Al Kacha? But it could be that they're all true, and since they're all true, we try to incorporate all of them to be Yotze Kaladeo. So it's not that we're passing like Rabbi Meir, we're passing like all of them. And the only way to cover all of the Shitos is by in practice doing like Rabbi Meir in reading the entirety of the Megillah. V'am Rabbi Chalba, Am Rabbi Chama Bar Guri, Am Rav. Megillah Nikrei Sefer, V'Nikrei Sigeres. A Megillah is called a Sefer, it's also called an Igeres. Nikrei Sefer, it's called the Sefer Shem Tavar B'chutei Pishtan Psula, because if you sew the parchment with Chutei Pishtan, it's going to be Pasul, like we say by a Sefer Torah, that we learn from a Hekesh Mekish to Tefillin, that if you sew it with Chutei Pishtan, it's possible. So the same is true by a Megillah. But Vinikres Igeres, but it's also called an Igeres, Shem Hitel Bashoshu Chutei Gidin, Ksheira, that if you put in the Megillah three chutim of Gidin, that's going to be kosher, as opposed to Sefer Torah, where it has to be sewed all the way down with Gidin. By a Megillah, you only need three chutim of Gidin. Amar Rav Nachman, Vachiu Mishuloshin. But when you put those three stitchings to hold the parchments together, they need to be Mishuloshin. What does it mean, Mishuloshin? Says Tosas, Nir Kamosh Pirush Rashi, Shia Mirosh Atfar Adagid, Kimigid Legid, Chavero, Bein Mi Lamaila, Bein Mi Lamata, that it has to be evenly spaced, that from the top of the parchment to the first stitching, it has to be the same distance as from this first stitching to the second stitching. I mean, there are two possibilities of what Mishloshim could have meant. It could have meant one stitch all the way at the top, one stitch all the way at the bottom, and one stitch right in the middle. So Tosa says, well, just like when it comes to the Ari Miklat, that they have to be Mishulash, and the Ari Miklat does not have to be one all the way in the north, one all the way in the south, and one right in the middle. No, it means that from the northernmost point to the first city should be the same distance as from the first city to the second city. So that's what it means over here. That's what Mishulashin means over here as well. If a person reads from Megillah that's written among the Ksuvim, that all the Ksuvim are written together, so he's not Yotze, because you need a Megillah that has to be an Igeres. An Igeres means that it's independent, that it stands alone. That's only if the Megillah is not a little bit shorter or a little bit longer, where it stands out. If you have all the Ksuvim, including the Megillah, but the Megillah clearly stands out and is distinct from the other Ksuvim, then it's not going to be a problem. Levi Bar Shmuel have a Kakari, Kamed Rav Yehuda, B'Megillah, Haksuva Ben Haksuvim. He read in front of Rabbi Yehuda using a Megillah that was Ksuva Ben Haksuvim. So Amar Lei, Hari Amar Akari B'Megillah Ksuva Ben Haksuvim, Lo Yatza. But wait a second, we learned that you're not allowed to use a Megillah that's Ksuva Ben Haksuvim. You're not Yotzei if you use such a Megillah. Another Memra about the same idea, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakari B'Megillah Ksuva Ben Haksuvim, Lo Yatza. That you're not Yotzei if you use a Megillah Ksuva Ben Haksuvim. Once he said that, he took it back a little bit. He took out the teeth of that memra a little bit by saying b'tzibur shanu. When we say that you're not yotzei, that's only if you're trying to use a b'tzibur, because kriya b'tzibur is coming to be mefarsim the nes, and Megillah is not nikeres. But a yachid who reads on his own, he's yotzei even if it's ksuva bein ksuvim, even if it's written among the ksuvim. So even though one could ask, well, wait a second. How does this make sense? That if a yachid reads this, he's yotzei. But if you read from this Megillah b'tzibur, you're not going to be yotzei? I don't understand. If everyone in the tzibur was just a yachid reading on their own, they'd be yotzei. They'd be yotzei ki yachidim. So how can you say that they're not going to be yotzei when they read b'tzibur? So it must be that there's, so the achronim work on this, it must be that there's some sort of special kiyum of tzibur that they're not being yotzei. But if that's the case, it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. It says lo yatza, that you're not yotzei. It doesn't sound like you're not yotzei mitzvah min amuvchar, but you're still yotzei. Maybe it has something to do with shomea ka'ona, that when you're a yachid, you're at least the one that's reading from it. So you're reading from it, maybe you're going to be yotzei. But to be yotzei shomea ka'ona that way, by listening to shliach tzibur, by listening to a balkore reading that way from a Megillah Ksuvim Ben Haksuvim, maybe then you would not be yotzei. Anyway, I'm going to work on it. They try to figure out what it is that it means that petzibur shanu. At my niece's wedding the other night, my brother was telling me a whole shtickle Torah about this, but don't have time to say it over right now. But anyway, that's what they work on this question. Shir HaTfar, whatever they leave over at the time that they sowed the gilyonos of the Sefer Torah, where there's a little bit of space at the top and the bottom that are not sewn together, halachal Moshe Sinai. That is halachal Moshe Sinai. It's not a din midrabanan. That's a din midaraisa. Umachol amocha. And then he pulled back a little bit and he said he modified. Lo amru elakadesh lo yikareya. That idea, that halacha, that you have to leave a little bit unsewn, is not halachal Moshe Sinai beyond the point that it's just not going to tear at the time that you roll the Sefer Torah. Because if it's really tautly really, you know, it's really taut and it's really tightly connected to each other, then a little bit of pull and it will tear. So the chamor masakein that it has to have a little give, so that when you roll it, it will be able to be a little more flexible. So so that's how much give it has to have. That if not, that there was a little bit of a crack in the cave that Moshe and Eliyahu stayed in, then they wouldn't have been able to withstand the light of the Hiskalus Hashchina. No one can see a Kadosh Baruch Hu and actually live. So when Hashem passed in front of them, when Hashem said, or by Eliyahu HaNavi, where Hashem was megal himself to him in the Ma'ara, where so he went on to Har Elokim B'Chorev and he went to the Ma'ara over there. So if not for the little little hole, a tiny pinhole, where they that you could, and the reason we're mentioning this is because that when you sew, you use a pin to sew, a needle to sew. So if not for that size hole that they would make when they're sewing something, so lo yuchal nama, they wouldn't have been able to withstand the brightness of the light. So the Gemara brings another memra from Rabchia in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabchia Barab in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Right, we're in the middle of several memras from Rabchia Barab in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Four memras in total. V'amar Rabchia Barab, Am Rabbi Yochanan, May Dechsiv Va'aleim Kechol Dvar Mashadibir Hashem Imachem Bahar. That on the Luchos it's written like everything that our Kodesh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai. Melamit Sharo Kodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Dikduke Torah V'Dikduke Sofrim U'Mashas Sof Masiz Asid in the Chadesh. That Kodesh Baruch Hu showed Moshe together with the Torah Shebichsav and the Pshuta Shel Mikra, all the dinim that you can learn from the Dikdukim of the Loshna Torah, every riboy from an S and from a Gam and from and the Miutim from an Ach and from a Rak, and Dikduke Sofrim, all the dinim that the Chachamim are medayik from the Loshon of the earlier Chachamim, and there is and Masha Sof Masid in the Chadesh, and that which the Chachamim are going to be Mechadesh, that that you learn from a kaf adimion, which is extra or something like that. Umay nihu, and what's that? What is the that which has sof masin l'schadesh mikra megillah? Because it's also nisraba from a kaf adimion, because it's doma legufa shel Torah. It's similar to gufa shel Torah, right? That was the gemara we had in daf tezayin and beis divrei shalom ba'emes. So Rabbi Tanchum said Rami lo amar Rabbi Asi melamit shetzricha sirtut ke'amita shel Torah, that we learned the din that it requires sirtut. And Tosa Rosh writes that it sounds from there from the Psukim that it refers to Megillah, because it says Mito Chakal, and the Megillah is in Megillah it's Nikalu Yehudim. So you have these small Dikdukim from which we learn all of these Dinim of the Megillah. Okay, now we're up to the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, who's allowed to read the Megillah? It happens to be interesting that the previous Mishnah, the Nosekelim on the Mishnayis are a little bit bothered that the previous Mishnah, which was on the top of Yotes Amid Aleph, is in this Perek at all, right? About a Ben Ir that goes to a Krach, Ben Krach that goes to an Ir. That's a first Perek topic, right? The very first Mishnah in the Masechta was about when you actually read the Megillah, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav. So they try to work on that also. How did that sneak its way into the second Perek? But now back to our originally scheduled program here of actual halachos of reading the Megillah, as opposed to the days that you read the Megillah. So I call Ksheir Likros as a Megillah. Everyone is allowed to read the Megillah to be motzi other people in their chiyuv, chutz mecheres shot of a katan, except for a cheres shot of a katan. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, and Rabbi Yehuda says a katan can also read the Megillah. That now, generally speaking, when you say cheres, so what does a cheres mean? Does a cheres mean a person who's deaf, or does it mean a person who's deaf mute? Right. So lechora, this is a stark araya that a cheres does not mean a deaf mute, because a cheres cannot read the Megillah if he's a deaf mute. Obviously, if he's reading the Megillah, he's not. He's, so that's what Tosus points out. Stam cheresh avienu shmei avienu medaber. No, in the rest of Shas, you're right. A cheresh is a deaf mute. Aval cheresh tahacha medaber hu dekariya Megillah. Over here, obviously, we're talking about a cheresh that's a medaber that's able to speak because he's reading the Megillah and he's a pekeach l'chol devarim. Except for this, that he has to be yashmi alazno, and therefore he's not able to read the Megillah. Meaning, normally, when we say cheresh is pata from whatever, it means only if he's a deaf mute. And if he's only deaf but not a mute, he's a regular person's chayv in all mitzvahs. Why can't he read the Megillah? because it's special din by Kriyas Megillah, that you have to be Mashmiya La'aznav. So Matan Cheresh Diyabinami Lo. Who's the Shita that holds that a Cheresh is not able to be Motzi other people even B'diyavet? Amar of Masan Rabbi Yossi. He's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Ditznan, because we learned in Mesachus Brachos, Hakore Shema V'lo Shmiya La'aznav, Yotza. That Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Yotza. Tanakama says that if you're not Mashmiya La'aznav, you're still Yotza, but Rabbi Yossi says you're not Yotza. So Rabbi Yossi says that if you don't hear what you're reading, you're not even Yotzi B'diyavet. So who Adin? By the Cheresh in our Mishnah, he's not Mashmiya La'aznav, and therefore he's not going to be Yotze. So says Rabbi Yossi, how do you know that our Mishnah is necessarily going like Rabbi Yossi, B'diyavet Namilo, and our Mishnah means to say that even B'diyavet you're not Yotze? Dilma Rabbi Yudi, maybe our Mishnah assumes like Rabbi Yehuda, and all it means is L'chadchilu Dilo, how do you have a chapter dummy? That it's not okay L'chadchilu, because you should really be Mashmiya La'aznav, but B'diyavet it would still be okay. So says Marlo Salkadaitach, you can't think that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and it's only saying Adin L'chadchilu, but B'diyavet the old the town of our Mishnah holds that you yotze to katani cheresh to mi shot of a katan, because it packs together cheresh together with shot of a katan. So ma shot of a katan di yevin nami lo, just like a shot of a katan even b'diyavet you're not yotze. So av cheresh di yevin nami lo, so cheresh also you're not going to be yotze b'diyavet. V'dilma hakadisa v'hakadisa, how do you know? Maybe each one is in its own category that a cheresh you can't do l'chadchila, but a shot of a katan even b'diyavet is no good. So mi katani say for b'yudah machshir b'katan. From the fact that the Sefer introduces Rabbi Yehuda, that tells me that the Reisha must not have been Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore must have been Rabbi Yossi. Says Mar V'dilma Kula Rabbi Yehudi, maybe the Reisha is also Rabbi Yehuda, and when Rabbi Yehuda comes up in the Sefer to say that a katan is kosher, after he already said in the Reisha that he's not kosher, is Tregavni Katan Katanila. He's talking about two different types of katanim. There are two categories of katanim. So the Chesuri Mechsu of Ach Katanim, and this is how to read the Mishnah. Hakol Cheri Lukasam Megillah Chutz that everyone is allowed to read the Megillah except for a Cheresh, at least the Chachila, and a Shot of a Katan, even B'diyavet. But that's only a very young child, that he's not even at the age of chinuch. But a katan is a gil chinuch, even the chachila can be amongst the other people that are chiv. Share Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, because Rabbi Yehuda is machshir by a katan. So it turns out there's a way to make it that the entirety of the Mishnah is going like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and then you could say that the cheresh, it's not kosher, is only in the chachila, but b'diyavet. But the Cheresh can be motzi other people. Their chiyuv. Tosfos over here works on the issue of when Rabbi Yehuda's makshir b'katan, what type of katan we're talking about, and why it is in general that a katan cannot be motzi. After all, the entire din of Megillah is only a din midrabanan, and a katan is a bar chiyuva on a drabanan level. So normally, if one person is chayv midrabanan and another person is chayv midrabanan, they can be motzi each other in the mitzvah. So Tosfos suggests over here that. The Yolam Mari B'Katan Sheigil Chinuch. We're talking about a Katan Sheigil Chinuch. V'afilu Achi Paslu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan still Pasul. Mishum De Megillah Leka Chiyuv V'afilu B'Gdolim Elamid Rabbanan. V'Katan Ein Mechuyuv Elamid Rabbanan V'afilu B'Shar Mitzvos. V'Gadol Leka L'Chad Rabbanan B'Megillah Sharei B'Shar Mitzvos Hu Chayv D'Araisa. V'lo Asi Trade Rabbanan U'Mapik Chad Rabbanan. Tosu says this famous Yisod that there's not all the Rabbanan people who are Chayv in the Mitzvah Rabbanan are created equal. It depends how many reasons are there that your chiyuv is not da'oraisa. So if you're a gadol and it just happens to be a mitzvah d'rabanan, there's only one reason why your chiyuv is not da'oraisa, because it's a mitzvah d'rabanan. But if you're a katan and the mitzvah is only d'rabanan, that's a trei d'rabanan. There are two reasons why your mitzvah is not da'oraisa. First of all, the mitzvah is not da'oraisa. Second of all, your chiyuv in any mitzvah is not da'oraisa. So that's considered a lower level, and therefore he cannot be motzi a gadol who's chayiv on a higher level. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with B'mai Ukimta. Everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.